May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 910. Oh, that my soul, as heretofore, could with delight and love explore those sacred sweets in Jesus' name that once my raptured soul o'ercame. Hymn 910.
Thank you. Let us read together from God's holy word from the book of Hebrews and chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come, By faith Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, we come to thee through thy beloved Son, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And Lord, we come confessing our many sins, our iniquities. Lord, we are but vile and ungodly sinners. Lord, how full of all sin and all uncleanness, capable of every wickedness and perverseness that ever is found in the world, the fountain of iniquity and sin. And O Lord, we would come confessing this before thee, and we would thank thee for that provision that thou hast made in the gospel for such hell-deserving and wretched sinners as we feel and find ourselves to be. Lord, we do seek of Thee that we might know more and more Thy great salvation. We thank Thee for the gift of Thy beloved Son, who withheld not Himself, who gave Himself for us, made of Himself of no reputation, became obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. Lord, that Thou shouldst so take the form of a servant, that Thou shouldst so lower Thyself and humble Thyself, that Thou shouldst stoop so low. And why? For sinners such as we. We seek, Lord, that we might more look into, as the angels desire to, look into the things of salvation, but they are not partakers of that. They need not Thy precious blood as we do. They are not those for whom Thou didst die. But, Lord, we seek that we might look into and see more and more what Thou hast provided for sinners, for men, for women, Lord, for those who are brought to feel and know their need. O Lord, do be pleased to magnify Thy grace in this assembly. Magnify, Lord, Thy word in this assembly, that there might be seen Thy beloved Son in every page and every line. O Lord, we thank Thee for the written, and we thank Thee for the incarnate word. We thank Thee for the Holy Spirit that does bring it to our hearts, bring it to our remembrance, applies the precious truths unto us. O Lord, we do seek of Thee Thy mercy and Thy merciful help this night. O take not Thy Holy Spirit from us. Grant the power of God that bringeth salvation. Fasten Thy word in sinners' hearts. Cause us, Lord, to lay hold upon the hope set before us in the gospel. We do see, Lord, that Thou wouldst begin a work of grace in hearts that are yet still hard, those that are dead, those that know nothing, feel nothing, have no concern, do not know their danger. O Lord, we do seek, Lord, Thy mercy, that Thou wouldst cause that Thy word might break down that separating wall, open the ear, soften the heart. O cause there to be the cry, what must I do to be saved? O Lord, we thank Thee that the gospel is a gospel that is done and finished and complete in our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that even the faith that lays her hand upon Thee is that gift of God. O Lord, do be pleased to grant that blessing. Let not any here and those that are connected with us here be left to die and to perish in their sin. Lord, may there be those here that bear one another before Thee. Lord, it may be there is an impotent one that must needs be born of four. Lord, are there four praying souls here, praying for one poor sinner that does not seem to have any concern for their soul? O Lord, do be pleased to remember that Thou didst say that Jesus saw their faith, and then He spoke to the impotent one. O Lord, do grant Thy blessing on impotent ones through the intercession of another. We thank Thee that Thou art our great High Priest. When Thou didst overthrow Sodom and Gomorrah, Thou didst remember Abraham and sent Lot out of the overthrow. O Lord, do cause that those here who know the worth of Thy precious blood, who know Thy salvation, might be intercessors for those who do not. O Lord, we do thank Thee where we have lived to see answers to prayer. where we have lived to see great changes in the hearts and lives of those whose language was, depart from us, we desire not the knowledge of thy ways, and we seek that we might still see that answers to prayer are obtained. We thank thee for this day of grace. We thank thee for the day of the gospel. And Lord, we are mindful as we gather here again that the last time that we stood here was just before the referendum. And Lord, the prayer meeting that was held here at that time. And O Lord, we would return thanks, and no doubt has much been given here and elsewhere. But Lord, we did ask that we might see thy hand, and we believe that thy hand was very clearly seen, not anticipated by man, but that brought about, that brought man's designs and thoughts to confusion. And Lord, we notice in these things thy hand, and O Lord, in events since as well. And we do pray that these great things in the history of this nation might be used for spiritual revival, that there might be the situations that men and women are brought to turn unto thee and have ears opened unto thee, which otherwise they would not. We do seek, Lord, to thank thee as well of those many from the beginning of this year in our churches and connection that have been brought to faith, put thee on in open profession, and especially amongst the young people. Six there were, we noted in April, now 16. And O Lord, we bless thee for it. We pray that thou wouldst go on further, and that thou wouldst grant a great Spirit-led revival in this land and amongst our churches, who bless this church here in this way. Visit them, and Lord, do cause that they might see thy blessed hand to go before them. Bless their deacons, bless the church, exercise their souls. Lord, thou said as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. You grant also, if it could please thee, to them here a pastor settled over them. Lord, do be pleased to bring together people and a pastor after thine own heart. Lord, thou hast blessed and favoured them here. Bless them with that gift thou hast promised to give. And O Lord, bless each of the families here. We thank thee that as gathering on a week evening, the young people that are gathered here, do bless them each and be with them in their pathways. And those that seek thee, O Lord, bless them with finding. Those concerned about their souls, lead them on. May they truly have an appetite, hunger and thirst after righteousness, and be kept after thee and satisfied with the goodness of thy house. O Lord, we do seek to humble ourselves on account of our sin and the sins of this nation. When we ask for blessings, we see no reason in ourselves for them at all, but rather every reason for thy judgments. But Lord, we do seek that thou remember thy beloved Son. Remember thy name, the name of Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Remember, Lord, the expectation given unto us, that thou wouldst bless us not for our deeds or our name, but because of thy own great name's sake. We thank thee for that new covenant, ordered in all things and sure, having no weak link in it. And Lord, that is all our hope and all our expectation, that thou wouldst work and no man should hinder it, that thou shouldst get thyself glory and honour in the salvation of sinners. And we pray for those that really feel such a warfare against them, such a battle with the sin of their heart, besetting sins, the world, the devil, unbelief, doubts and fears. O Lord, help those who struggle on, feel sometimes they cannot stand, no, not another hour. Remember those buffeted on every side. Lord, do be pleased to send relief and send help and send strength and help out of Zion. Grant a token for good tonight. Grant thy word with authority from heaven. Speak, Lord, through an instrument sinful in himself. But, Lord, we pray that thou wouldst touch my lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar, that thou wouldst speak thy pure word into one's heart tonight. And so, Lord, our expectation is to thee. Teach us to worship thee aright, to sing thy worthy praise, to gather before thee with praise, with thanksgiving, and, Lord, with that expectation that as thou hast promised to be, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou hast be here in this assembly, and that our hearts might be warmed under thy word and drawn to thee, Lord Jesus. Lord, do grant grace and faith for the particular pathways of each here, but may each be led to see a precious Jesus and their interest in him, and to put thee on in open profession, unashamed of thee, but pointing to thy precious blood, being able to say, behold, the way to God. We ask thee these things through thy worthy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 1071. Happy soul that free from harms rests within his shepherd's arms, who his quiet shall molest, who shall violate his rest. Hymn 1071.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to the chapter we read, Hebrews chapter 11, and reading for our text verses 13 through to 16. From verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. In the verses that we have read by way of a text, there is a profession of faith that is common to all the people of God. When we think of this chapter and we see the examples of faith, how varying they are. We have Noah building his ark, we have Abraham leaving his country, we have those that are listed in all of their tortures, their persecutions, the things that they've gone through. Very, very different, each one of them. You couldn't take any one of those illustrations and say that is a common illustration. All of God's people will build an ark in a spiritual way. Yes, we could draw a parallel in that way. But God's dear children walk in very different paths in their lives. What is taught in this chapter is that faith is in exercise in that particular path that they walk. Their faith is tried in that way that God has put them in. We have in this chapter, and just in the first few verses of the next one, some very clear definitions of faith. We have it in the very first verse here, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not something that is before our eyes, not something that we can see, something unseen. And yet very often the things that faith triumphs over are what are seen. What are seen, what are felt, enemies without, enemies within, trials that are round about as they are seen. But faith that overcomes them, it is not seen. And of course, faith, it is again set before us as that the elders obtained through it a good report. It was through faith that really they stood them out as the people of God. All men have not faith. And we are told in Hebrews that the Lord Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of faith. And Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, he says that by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Then we are told in verse 6 of this chapter that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's very evident that faith is vital, that if each of us here are saved, that we must have this faith that is spoken of here in this chapter. When we go to the next chapter, then the apostle opens there with saying, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Really what he is saying is, in chapter 11, we have a list of those who walk by faith under the Old Testament dispensation. They look forward to Christ. They saw Christ in the types, in the shadows, in the word, and they believed that Christ would come and that he would bear their sins and put their sins away. And they died in the faith and belief of that. It was saving for them. But then we also, the apostle says, now we are in the gospel day. And when he writes to the Corinthians, he brings in the verses from in Isaiah, that it hath not entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love him. The Old Testament saints, they could not really enter into the situation that we are today, in every nation, kindred and tongue, gathering together the preached gospel, Christ having come and laid down his life, received his life again and ascended up into heaven, and the Holy Spirit poured out in such a way. We might think, how did they not know? We can look at the prophecies in Isaiah, so very clear about the Gentiles being called, and yet 10 years after Pentecost, when we have the equivalent of Pentecost and Peter goes to Cornelius, the reception he has back at Jerusalem, it evidences they still weren't clear on that. How is it that thou hast gone to the uncircumcised? How is it that you've gone in this way? And he rehearsed the matter from the beginning and how the Holy Spirit fell. And when they heard it, they said, then hath God also given salvation unto the Gentiles. And we think, but if you really knew the Old Testament scriptures, you would have known that. But it was clouded. And the apostle says that that mystery that was hidden is now made known unto us through the preaching of the gospel. The gospel day is a very great, enlightened, a blessed day when we contrast it with the Old Testament. And then we can look forward again. The church of God now looks forward to heaven, for the new heavens and new earth where indwelleth righteousness. And as where we are today was so mysterious to the Old Testament, now we can hardly comprehend what it hasn't entered into the heart of man, what God hath prepared for that inheritance that is incorruptible and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. And so we also in this New Testament age are also encompassed with a cloud of witnesses. Paul at this time, he could think of James, who was killed by the sword. He could think of Stephen, who was stoned to death and who looked up and testified of seeing the Lord at the right hand of the throne of God. He could speak of those who he was contemporary with, who had professed the faith and who had died in faith, again centering in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he had prepared for them. And he brings together these two parts, as it were, of the church, and he brings them all. They're all walking by faith, they're saved by faith, and it centers in the Lord. And it's very interesting to note when he comes to verse 2 in chapter 12, he doesn't say, looking unto this cloud of witnesses, or looking unto those that go before, they are the witnesses, but it's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that's where faith centres, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given that to his dear people, and it centres there, and it's absolutely vital that we have it. But you might be saying, well, if it is so important and so vital, how can we know that we actually have this faith? How can we, from these passages and the examples of the witnesses gone before, can we ever really see whether or not we have that same light, precious faith? Well, in this passage, as we said it deals with some of these Old Testament characters in specific instances in their lives. But in our text, he brings it together as a summary. Not now the actual instances, but bringing it together, summarized enough to be of real application to the hearts and lives of all of the people of God to the end of time. And so he starts with our text, "These all died in faith." He's already given the list of these: Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, and then gives this summary, and then later on goes back again to Abraham and going to the specific things in his life. But it is the summary, what is given here, a profession of faith that is common to all the people of God. And there are four things that in these verses. I want to keep closely to the verses if I can, and may the Lord use it and bless it. May you see that the Lord has given you faith, or that faith that you so desire is clearly set forth here. Well, the first is this, and I'll introduce them as I go rather than, because four are hard to remember all at once. So as we go, firstly, we have that where faith is, the promises of God will be seen and embraced. They will be persuaded of those promises. We have in verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them." May we remember what the gospel is for. It is for sinners. May we remember also what God's aim is to bring sinners that are dead in trespasses and sins, who do not even know their danger, to bring them to know their need of a Saviour, to reveal the Saviour to them, and so prepare them in this life to be with him forever. And so when the Lord first begins, then there will be a knowledge of their danger, a knowledge of their sinnership, not just in head, not just in word, but a real feeling sense of their condition before God, their danger, the warning being received. You know, John the Baptist, when the scribes and Pharisees came to his baptism, he said to them, "Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Well, where the Lord begins, there will be a fleeing from the wrath to come, a realization in greater or lesser measure that we are sinners, that all our deeds, our thoughts, our words, our ways are black and filthy before God, and we can never stand before God as we are. There will be a need, a way of escape. Many times in the Word of God is emphasized that the Lord will exhaust a person's own resources before he brings in his own plan. I've often thought of when Israel had Goliath stand before them. God did not send David straight the first day into that assembly. He had them 40 days with the Goliath coming out, defying them, "Provide me a man." And day after day, there is no man. No, Saul is not going to come out. No one is there until David comes. And the Lord uses him, and the glory is the Lord's. But there needs to be that time first, complete exhausting of own help and strength. We have it with the woman with the issue of blood. 12 years she had sought unto doctors, physicians, and tried healing and couldn't. And then she heard of Jesus. I always like that little sentence where she heard of Jesus. And the rising up of hope, of expectation. Here was some hope. Here was a possibility that there might be at last a way of escape and at last a healing. And the Lord often uses that way so that men have to prove first that there is no help in self, like the hymn writer says, and yet I've sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. Now, in a condition like that, there will begin to be seen throughout the Word of God promises, rays of hope, the setting forth of the Saviour, little glimpses of that. The hymn writer says, I see from far thy beauteous light, and in thee sigh for thy repose. Remember the people of God, where God finds them, they are far off, and they are brought nigh by the blood of Christ. Our Lord spoke of the parable of the prodigal son, and the picture was a son that was afar off, but he was brought into need, and in that need he thought of his father's house and resolved to humble himself and to return. But he was still afar off when the father saw him and ran to him and embraced him. He did not have to go all that way back. But it is afar off where sinners first get that ray of hope, and who can tell that there are those promises. You think of the promises first given of the Lord, the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head. And then from throughout all of the prophecies, this built upon it and the types and the shadows. And these things are as shown, and maybe it's a word is preached from, the promises of God, which are all yea and amen in Christ Jesus, that those are seen. And you go home and you start to plead that promise. You think, oh, that would be mine. Oh, that I could have an interest in that part of the scripture. I see a beauty, I'm drawn to that, I'm attracted to that, but I dare not say it is mine, but I do want to really embrace it. And this is the work of faith. This is which each one of the people of God are brought, it says here, not having received the promises. And these Old Testament saints, they didn't receive them in the fact that they didn't see Christ come. They were not like Peter, James, John, even John the Baptist. He did not see our Lord suffer and then rise from the dead. But those in the that were witnesses of Christ's resurrection and then the pouring out of the Spirit, they did. But they saw these promises afar off. They embraced them. This is what they needed. This is what their soul longed for. The Apostle Paul, he writes to the Romans and he says of his own people there that they are ignorant of God's righteousness and are going about to establish their own righteousness. And he speaks about the work of faith and how that works. And he says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend up into heaven. We don't want not heights of experience, to bring down Christ from above. Or who shall descend into the deep, not depths of conviction of sin. Our hope is not to be based upon that. That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And verses like that, to a sinner that is struggling, wrestling with their sin, bowed down with it, brought in as a guilty sinner, and their faith, it lays hold upon Christ as set before them. Not what they have done, but what Christ has done. Not their obedience, but Christ's obedience. Not their sacrifices, but Christ's. And the promises of God are seen, embraced as such, suitable for this sinner. And it is those that they are persuaded, as the hymn writer again says, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. Those in the wilderness that saw the serpent raised up, some would have been a long way away from that, only saw just a glimpse of it, and yet they looked towards it. And those that looked, they lived. Are there those of you here that have a text here or there in the Word of God? You can't forget it. It's suitable to you. You plead it. You want that should be yours. Faith is labouring, as it were, to lay hold upon that promise. It will not let it go. Hanging upon it. All, really, the people of God, before they actually are put in possession of God's blessings, they see them afar off. They see the suitability of it. There's a hunger and thirsting after righteousness, a longing after the Lord, something that is never there by nature. I'm convinced that there are those of you here that have had time in your life you couldn't care less about the promises of God. You wouldn't have any word that you would plead in the Word. There's nothing you want the Lord to do for you. But the Lord has made a difference there. May all thy precious promises be to me and for my good. The labour of faith sees those promises and labours that they might be theirs. I was encouraged in the first hymn that we sang in verse 4, and this is a soul that is not just at the beginning, you see, and along the way, but now those golden hours are fled, my spirit mourns with sorrow fed, his promise in the word, his word I see, but fear, alas, 'tis not for me. Is not a soul casting away the promise. It's low, it needs it applied, but faith is still holding on to that promise. That is what I want for me. That is my salvation. Our hope is upon the faithfulness of God, the unchangeableness of God. The apostle also in Hebrews, he speaks of by two immutable things in which it is impossible that God should lie. He set forth salvation and confirmed it with an oath. That is the strength of the gospel, the strength of the covenant in Christ's blood, that he is a faithful God and all the promises of the gospel, as yea and amen in Christ, shall never, ever fail. And when the Lord gives faith to his people, those promises are precious. And that is what they look to, and rightly look to, because there is no hope of salvation but in God's own word, an own promise, an own way of salvation. If you and I are saved, it is through Christ's way, Christ's plan. We sung of the shepherd, and he leads his sheep forth by the right way, that they might go into a city of habitation, as we have later here. Well, there is a second work and evidence of faith here, and that is that there is a confession of being strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Remember what we said about God's dear people of being formed to be with him forever. And so the fruit and effect of faith will be to make them to have this confession that here below they are strangers and pilgrims. What a difference to an unregenerate soul. This world is their home. This is virgin pastures, all of the pursuits and love of this world. It's not like that they are strangers or pilgrims in it at all. But Abraham, even in the land of Canaan, was a stranger. He was not a foot in it. It was given him by promise. He was to have it later in his descendants. But he dwelt in tents there. The children of Israel, when they went through the wilderness, they were never intended to remain in that wilderness. They were always to get to Canaan. And so they were strangers, they were pilgrims. Pilgrim is one that is passing through. How is it with us? Have we this, marked this evidence of faith? Sight sees everything. It sees the pleasures of sin. It sees this world. It sees all around us. What changes that in a person? What makes them feel that this is not their rest, that it is polluted? What makes them feel that they would not live always? They would not live here always, but they are passing through? What makes them value their soul? Faith brings them to make this confession. Do we make that confession? Do we speak in that way? And confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ came unto his own. His own received him not. He came as a stranger. There were those that knew him, those that could see who he was. For the most part, the church of God is despised, rejected of men, just like their Lord and Master was. But you see, at Calvary, what does the world say? Away with him, away with him, crucify him. The Apostle Paul says, he says, I am crucified unto the world, and the world unto me. The world does not want God's people, and God's people do not want the world. It's a two-way thing. The Lord has said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. And that confession then of faith will be that we are strangers here. The world does not understand our language. They think we're strange. We do not want to understand the language and ways of the world. It is a passing through, strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You cannot find one that will have a true faith in Christ and truly being prepared for glory that is confessing the opposite, that the world is their home and that they want to settle down their nest here, and all of their hopes and everything that they have is for this life. Faith of God works the opposite way to that. Then we have a third point that's mentioned, but before we go on to that, I just want to draw your attention to adjoining to that. In verse 14, it says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." There may be those of you here that you might think, well, I'm not sure that I can really say I do seek a heavenly country and do seek that which is above, but I do feel a stranger and pilgrim here. Well, the Word of God tells us they that say such things, that they're strangers and pilgrims, they actually are declaring plainly that they seek a country. In one sense, the first, at the end of verse 13 there, confessing stranger and pilgrims, is in the negative way, but it's really implying a positive way. Yes, we do not seek here, but we are seeking a country, that which is above. Well, then we have in verse 15, separation from the world, and in such a way that the mind is not set on the things of the world, so though there is opportunity to return, they don't take it. I'm not saying they're not tempted to take it. The work of faith is that wrestles against and strives against that which is round about them. God has seen fit when he calls his people by grace not to just take them out of the world and put them in a situation where they don't have an opportunity to go back to what they have been doing. For instance, if there's a drunkard or one that has been given to or sexual immorality or whatever besetting sins or way that grace has found them and they've been brought out of that to reject those sins, to flee from those sins, the Lord doesn't just take them completely out of the world and into a situation where they can never ever sin in that way again. We're still in this world. The drunkard can still go back to his pub, it's still there. The sinner can still go back to their sins, and most solemnly there are those that do go back, and we have known those that have gone back. Turn again, the scripture says, as the sow that was washing to wallowing in the mire. The opportunity is still there. But the wonder of grace and the work of faith is that soul does not go back. And there's the struggle and there's the wrestle. There's the warfare of faith. Again, don't dream of a faith that will make it that you don't have any temptation and any pullback. We have our besetting sins. And Satan, he knows our frame. He knows our spirit. He knows exactly what things to tempt on our soul. And what better things than the very things that they've been brought out of when the Lord has begun with them. And yet faith will say, no, that way is the way of death. That way is the way of ruin. And though the opportunities are there, yet there's a seeking to walk in the opposite way. And so the Lord says, come ye out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. In the wilderness it was, let us go therefore out unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And Paul takes that up in Hebrews and speaks of that. And there is a reproach, going without the camp, a choosing to walk a path of tribulation and affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, which was the path that Moses chose and walked in. The Lord will have his people unto himself, separated unto him. Never be ashamed of the separation that grace and faith in Christ makes. You think of the separation in Noah's day, the separation in Lot's day, the separation that will be at the last day. Never be ashamed. In your workplace, in your school, in university, you may be mocked, may be scorned, derided. Bless God if the Lord has made a difference and separated you by his grace. Not a separation, stand by thyself, for I am holier than thou, but a separation that faith says to walk in that way is a way of ruin and death. I cannot go with you. I value my soul. There is death in those ways. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. It's a good thing where the Lord uses tribulations, afflictions, trials to bring about and to keep that separation and to help there to be a separation. Sometimes I've felt the, especially when I was first called, and the word was very precious and it was made known it couldn't be heard. Those that I worked with knew what I professed. And then when there were those times of temptation, then the world was my best help, really. If at sometimes I was perhaps on my own, if I hadn't got the world around me, I could have been tempted in ways of sin. But with those that I'd made a profession, they would pick up on any inconsistency whatsoever. And that actually was a help. They expected there to be a profession and a walking according to that. And many times I was thankful that that was the situation. But never caught the smiles of the world. If we are to be the Lord's people, then we are to expect reproach, expect that our names be cast out as evil, or as a bigot, or as someone that is rather strange. But may we count it as a real privilege that the Lord has separated us out unto himself, chosen from amongst the multitudes to be his people. And so faith will bring about this, and that is what is set forth here. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Blessed thing to have a mind set on the things of God, not on the things of this world. Have our affections, as our Lord said, set on things above, not on the things of this world. Well, there's a last evidence of faith here, and that is in verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. They desire a better country. There are those here that desire a better country. I won't say you always feel that, or the warmth of it. But can you go back to times when you really did and you longed for it? And you still do now, but oftentimes, and this is the work, the labour of faith, when you find the pull of your old nature and the pull of the world, but the new man of grace, that new birth within, will always seek that which is above. And it will long for it, in faith it will live and labour under load, and though damped it never dies. The Lord is forming his people for a place he is preparing for them. They are prepared people for a prepared place. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. If the Lord is doing that on that side, then he'll be preparing the people on the other side. You might have an elderly parent and you think, well, what they really need is a nice bungalow all fitted out for them. I know what I'll do. I'll build it for them. And you build them this bungalow, and when it's finished, you go and say, I've built this bungalow, it's all ready for you. They say, I don't want to go there. I'm quite happy here. What have you done that for? But how different if you had spoken to them and they said, well, actually, yes, I'm really struggling in the home here. I can't work the stairs. I would really like somewhere where I could go and be cared for and have a bungalow. And so you say, well, we'll arrange it. And from time to time, you show them the plans, you explain what's going on. On their part, they're longing for it to come. They're finding it more and more difficult at home. They're waiting for the time that they can go into this prepared house. When it's all done, then it's a blessed time they can go into it. What a different reaction when you have one that is being prepared for it and expecting it and longing for that place than one who's not being prepared at all. If the Lord has a place for us in heaven, He will prepare us here below. He'll make this is not our rest, it is polluted. He'll prepare us for that place. He'll loosen us from time. And He'll bring us to have our thoughts and affections where He is going to bring us to be. Now they desire a better country that is and heavenly. Do we have such desires? In the Lord's plan of salvation, He ordered it that He should ascend up into heaven and be at the right hand of God. And He should send forth His Spirit. Now, I know it's a mystery to us, the Trinity, that God fills all things. The Father and the Son of one, the Spirit is one God. But the Lord says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. But how He has ordered it, set your affections on things above where Christ sitteth. And the desire is to be with Him. If He was in some place on this earth, I would seek to speak reverently, but even if He was remained on earth and travelled round, there would not be that of which the people of God are drawn from this earth above. The very ascension of our Lord, the first fruits, His very presence in heaven, it assures His people will be there. And it draws their faith is drawn to there. They cannot see Him, but they know He is there. And the very affections, the drawing, the working of their faith stamps a real reality of it. All that come unto the Father, they are drawn. All that come unto Christ are drawn by the Father unto Him. There's a beautiful thing added to this verse of those that desire that better country. And that is, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. In other words, He says to a poor sinner, have you desires for a heavenly country? Be of good cheer. I have prepared for you a city. You can't see that city. You can't see that place. But I tell you, where that is being prepared for you, I'll put desires in your soul and in your heart for what I am preparing for you. Very often the Lord assures His dear people of His thoughts towards them in similar ways. We love Him because He first loved us. So the Lord says to Peter, who denied Him three times, lovest thou me? In other words, Peter, if you have love in your heart to me, it is only there because I have loved you first. And each sinner that feels the love of God shed abroad in their heart, it is shed abroad there by the Holy Ghost, and because the Lord has loved them first. And so in these verses, there's not only the evidences of faith put in these four ways, But there's that which is joined to it, which God says, if that evidence is with you, then this is what is going on within the veil, unseen by you. A place is being prepared. I'm not ashamed to call you brethren. You say, what, me? So full of sin, so full of vileness, so backward, so base, so unrequiting of his goodness. Yes, because of the covenant, because of Christ's sufferings, because of what you are in him, chosen in him. And that's why faith is given. Faith that lays its hand upon Christ, lays hold, embraces the promises, and brings one to confess that they're strangers and pilgrims in the earth. And though the earth and the world beckons and pulls, there's another pull that is a stronger pull, and that soul is kept by the power of God unto salvation. And though they may have many slips and falls and feel to but only scarcely go on, yet they are brought on in spite of all, still desiring that heavenly country and longing for that even more, because there shall be no more sin and no more world and no more tribulation and forever with the Lord. May we value those evidences of faith that we have. If we have not them, may it be those things that we ask of the Lord, that the Lord would grant us the faith of his elect. And it may be that we have to come with the disciples and say, Lord, increase our faith, seeing the value of it, the blessing of it. John, in his epistles, he said, what is it that overcometh the world? Even your faith, that is what overcomes the world. And that is one of these points that's set forth here. We must cleave to the word of God and cleave to what the Lord has set forth as to what he gives, the effect in the soul and in the heart and the life of the people of God. The faith of God's elect profoundly affects and changes the heart and life and outlook in the way that is described in these verses. Has it done so with us? If it has not, we are in the most solemn condition. Solemn thing to die without faith, under the wrath of God and under the condemnation of God. But blessed thing to have this same light, precious faith, the faith of God's elect. May the Lord bless us with it, this faith, so that we come under this description, these all died in faith, to come under that. We may have those of we can add as to witnesses to us, perhaps our parents, or it may be those we've walked in church membership and they've been witnesses how the Lord has wrought in them. They are precious personal witnesses because we've heard them and we've seen them. We've seen their sorrows, we've seen their work of faith, how they have laboured, how they've been in darkness, how the Lord has brought them out. But then we've seen their end, and they died in faith. And is there not a real desire, Lord, may my last end be like theirs. May I also sing victory on a dying bed. May faith look beyond the flood. In Pilgrim's Progress, Bunyan, his Christian were asked, how deep was the river? And it was said that it is as your faith is. May we be given that faith that triumphs over death and gives joys like those above. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pocock on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 292. Amidst 10,000 dangers which everywhere abound, the pilgrims and the strangers alone secure are found. For on their Lord they're waiting, they seek him night and day, his aid they're supplicating in his appointed way. Hymn 292.
Thank you.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all now and evermore. Amen.